I want to turn your attention afresh this Lord's Day morning to those words that were read for us in Matthew's Gospel, chapter 11, and particularly the last verses of the chapter, verse 28 through to verse 30. It's one of those great Gospel invitations in the Holy Scripture. Someone once said that the Bible is one great invitation for men and women to come to Christ. The Word of God says here in verse 28, "Come unto me, all ye that labour and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light." Wonderful words from the lips of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, the one who calls men and women to come unto Him. Every time I read that word, I think about a children's chorus that we often sang. It says, "See means children, all may come. O means old folk, no more young. M means middle age, mum and dad. E means everybody, good or bad." And then the chorus said, "I am invited, you are invited, come to Jesus and live." And thank God for the Gospel invitation that still stands, and the Gospel of Christ is still the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth. As our Savior, the Lord Jesus, ministered upon this scene of time, we are reminded that the Lord Jesus Christ called men and women to follow Him. One old preacher said that the Lord Jesus Christ never hid His scars in order to win a disciple. Over there in Luke's Gospel in chapter 9 and verse 23, the Lord Jesus Christ said, "If any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me." And thank God, as the Lord Jesus Christ walked about even by the shores of Galilee, even by the receipt of custom, Peter, James, and John, Matthew, left what they were doing, began to follow Him. And the Lord Jesus said to those fishermen, "Follow me, and I will make you to become fishers of men." But Jesus calls to men and women, and He says, "If any man will follow me, let him take up his cross daily and follow me." What a great challenge that is to our hearts day by day as we seek to live for the Lord Jesus as God's people. But also in Matthew's Gospel, in Matthew chapter 16, the Lord Jesus Christ was speaking to His disciples, and He reminded them in Matthew chapter 16 and in verse 6, Jesus said unto them, "Take heed and beware of the leaven of the Pharisees." If we would follow the Lord Jesus Christ and we would take up the cross daily to follow Him day by day in our lives, the Lord Jesus tells us to take heed and to beware of the leaven of the Pharisees. The Bible tells us in the book of Jude that we are to contend earnestly for the faith that was once delivered unto the saints. And the Lord Jesus again said in Matthew 24 and 4, He said, "Take heed that no man deceive you." And how thankful for so many of us, even in this church this morning, maybe born into a Christian home, hearing the Word of God, joining a Bible-believing, gospel-preaching church where we were taught as we sought to follow the Lord Jesus Christ that this faith that was once delivered unto the saints, we were instructed and we were told to take heed, and thank God we were led away from all the deceptions and the distractions that there are in this world to men and women. Jesus, in that great sermon in Matthew chapter 6, he said to the people in verse 25, "Therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what ye shall eat or what ye shall drink, nor yet for your body what ye shall put on. Is not life more than meat, and the body more than raiment?" He went on to say, take no thought for tomorrow, or take no anxious care for tomorrow, for sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. And so the Lord instructs us to follow Him and not to be deceived as far as our Christian faith is concerned. And as far as the future is concerned, we place our lives in His hands, our home, our family, our church, our denomination. Thank God we can take the burden to the Lord and leave it there. As the old preacher used to say, we're very, very good at coming to the place of prayer and bringing all our burdens and leaving our burdens before the Lord, but then we lift them up and we take them away again. But it's good to take the burden to the Lord and to leave it there. Now Jesus says, take up the cross. He says, take heed that no man deceive you. He says, take no anxious thought or care for the future. But in Matthew 11 and verse 29, Jesus says, take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light. I remember as a young man wanting to serve the Lord, and a friend of mine said, you know, there was an advert in the Belfast Telegraph, and it was from the Bloomfield Male Voice Testimony Choir. And the advert simply said, would you do service for Jesus your King? Come and join the testimony choir. And you know, there are many famous preachers in the Bloomfield Male Voice Testimony Choir. Dr. S.B. Cook, the professor of homiletics for many years, and the minister of our Armagh congregation. Dr. Cook was in that choir. Now, not at the same time as me, I hasten to add. But I remember going, and they sang a hymn, His yoke is easy, His burden is light, I find it so, I find it so. And the call from the Lord Jesus Christ to you and to me as followers of His is to take my yoke upon you and learn of me. See, in the scripture, the yoke always implies two. I've often thought about it. I often wondered when men looked upon the Lord Jesus Christ and some of them said, is not this the carpenter's son? Wonder if when the Lord Jesus Christ, growing up in Nazareth and working in the carpenter's shop, did he make a yoke for the animals, for the oxen, that they might be yoked together? If he did, it would have been perfect. But sometimes when we read in the scriptures, for instance in the book of Job, we're told about Job's great wealth. And we are reminded that Job had 500 yoke of oxen. In other words, he had 1,000 oxen. And the Bible describes the wealth of that great patriarch, Job. It tells us that He had 7,000 sheep and 3,000 camels and 500 yoke of oxen and 500 she-asses. A very great household, so that this man was the greatest of all the men of the East. And because the yoke implies two, when it speaks about 500 yoke of oxen, he had 1,000 oxen. Similarly, in the first book of Kings, in chapter 19 and verse 19, when Elijah came and passed by the young man Elisha, the Bible says Elisha, the son of Shaphat, who was ploughing with 12 yoke of oxen before him, and he with the 12th, and Elijah passed by him and cast his mantle upon him. And you know the story, how that young man who was ploughing there with the 12th yoke of oxen, he left the family home, he left the farm, he left the financial well-being to follow Elijah, to be Elijah's servant, Elijah's minister, and then eventually one day to stand as the great prophet of God, the miracle-working prophet Elijah and Elisha. And so we think about the yoke, and it implies two. And it's used there even to describe the wealth of these men and the number of the oxen that they had. But you know, it also describes a weight or a burden. For in the Old Testament, the word literally means to waver. And we think about the oxen as they were yoked together, either to pull a cart with a burden upon it, or people upon it, or to pull the plough. But sometimes it would be burdensome. It would be hard going. It would be tough. And maybe they would waver even under the yoke. And so the yoke is described in some verses of Holy Scripture to describe the weight and the burden and the servitude and the slavery even of the people of God. Way back in the book of Leviticus, in Leviticus chapter 26 and in verse 13, God says, I am the Lord your God which brought you forth out of the land of Egypt, that ye should not be their bondmen. And as I have broken the bands of your yoke and made you go upright. God says, I brought you out from the land of Egypt. You were under the yoke of bondage. You were burdened down. You were bent down. You were broken. You were a people in slavery and in servitude. But God says, I have brought you out, and I have set you free, and I have broken that yoke so that you can now walk upright and hold your head up and put your shoulders back and walk in this world because you are a redeemed people. Isn't that a wonderful thing as the people of God? We were once under the yoke and the bondage and the slavery of sin, but whom the Son sets free is free indeed. And God hath brought us out with a great right hand and a glorious victory, and we have been redeemed as Israel was redeemed out of the land of Egypt on the night of the Passover by the blood of the Lamb. The Bible says in the book of Deuteronomy that there was a yoke upon their necks. Jeremiah the prophet on one occasion not only spoke to the people and told them they needed to repent and to turn to God, and he had the wooden yoke, but then he said that the armies will come against you, and there will be yokes of iron, and you'll not be able to break them. So the yoke, sometimes in Scripture, speaks there of slavery. But thank God that yoke of affliction, as is spoken of in the book of Lamentation, it has been broken. And we have been set free. And so Jesus says, when you are set free from the yoke of bondage and the yoke of sin and under that taskmaster Satan, Jesus says, take my yoke upon you. And he says, learn of me, for my yoke is easy, and my burden is light. As I thought about those words and reflected upon them, I was thinking of some of the implications that are found in the scriptures for men and women, for young people who would follow Christ, who would keep the faith, who would walk with God, who would take Christ's yoke upon them. You know, the first implication is fellowship. Our fellowship with our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. We are yoked together. Just as the oxen were yoked together to pull the cart, to pull the plow. They were in close proximity, the one to the other. They were joined together, literally by the yoke upon their necks. And the Lord Jesus Christ, as we have said, as he called people to follow him, they willingly left other things behind to take his yoke and to be with him and to have fellowship with him. And of course that implies in itself agreement. For the Old Testament prophet Amos says, can two walk together except they be agreed? Oftentimes, the farmer, he would take a young ox and put it in the yoke along with a mature ox, that the young oxen may learn from the mature ox and share the yoke and bear the burden. And of course the Bible says it's good for a man to bear the yoke in his youth. But how wonderful it is to have fellowship and to be in agreement with our Savior and to take his yoke upon us. Because this old world in which we live is certainly not in agreement with Christ. It's certainly not sympathetic to the Word of God and to the preaching of the Gospel. And the world wants us to be yoked to its sins and its pleasures and its possessions and its prizes, its popularity, its pomp and its splendor. But Jesus says, take my yoke upon you. And when the Lord Jesus Christ came into the world, how often did he say that he had come to do the Father's will? And that he came in submission and voluntarily submitted himself to do the Father's will. Lo, I come in the volume of the book, it is written of me, I delight to do thy will, O my God. And as we have been saved by the grace of God, and we seek to day by day die to self and to live more and more unto God, we take his yoke upon us and we are in agreement with him and we walk in fellowship with him. We don't try to run on ahead of him. We don't want to lag behind, but we want to be in agreement because we have heard this appeal from the Savior to take my yoke upon you. In the New Testament scriptures and the Gospel of John, we often think of the first miracle the Lord Jesus Christ performed at the marriage feast in Cana of Galilee. And there were some wonderful words of advice that were given by Mary, the mother of Jesus, to the servants. In verse 5 of John 2, his mother saith unto the servants, whatsoever he saith unto you, do it. And when we take Christ's yoke upon us, and we are in agreement to walk with him, it's good not only to be in agreement, but, as it were, to be in a place of abandonment when we abandon ourselves to Christ. and to give everything to the Lord Jesus Christ. I've often said it. There was a godly bishop many years ago who preached at the great Keswick Convention in Cumbria. And he used to say that when he awoke from his sleep in the morning, before he even got out of bed, he prayed to the Lord and he said, "Lord, I am making this bed an altar. And I am giving myself afresh to you for this new day. And I want to dedicate and consecrate my life to you." And that old bishop, when he preached, especially at the young people's meetings at Keswick Convention, he called upon the young people. He said, "No reservations. No holding back." But he says, "Give everything," as the hymn writer says, "heart and soul and mind and voice to serve the King of Kings." And then he said, "When it comes to the end of the journey, there be no regrets." And Mary said to the servants, "Whatsoever he saith unto you, do it." And you know, when those servants obeyed the Lord Jesus Christ, the Bible says the secret of the Lord is with them that fear him. And Jesus says, "Fill the water pots with water." And the Bible says they not only were in agreement, they did what the Lord Jesus Christ asked them to do, but there was an abandonment there. They filled them to the brim. They weren't half-hearted. They filled the water pots to the brim. And then when they were told to go to the governor of the feast, the Bible says, when the ruler of the feast tasted the water that was made wine and knew not whence it was, but the servants which drew the water knew. Not a wonderful thing, because they were in agreement and had abandoned themselves to do whatsoever Jesus told them to do. You think of Peter, James, and John, and how when Jesus went to the home of Jairus and his little daughter had died, and the Lord Jesus Christ says, "She is not dead, she sleepeth." The Bible says people laughed him to scorn. But Jesus put the mockers and the scorners out. But Peter, James, and John, they witnessed the miracle as the Lord Jesus Christ raised the little girl from the sleep of death. So when we think about taking Christ's yoke upon us, it implies fellowship. Can I quickly say it also implies hardship? Now Jesus says, "For my yoke is easy and my burden is light," and I'll come to that in just a moment. But when the oxen were yoked together, it was to work. It was to work, breaking up the fallow ground with the plough. The ground that had become so parched and barren and hard and dry. And when we take up Christ's yoke upon us, we have fellowship with him. But in the Christian life and the Christian experience, there is hardship. Someone said Christianity is not a playground, but Christianity is a battleground. And there's hardship, and there's difficulty. That's why the hymn writer said, "It's not an easy road we're traveling to heaven, for many are the thorns along the way." There's difficulties, there's problems, and as the rain falls upon the just and the unjust, and the sun shines upon the just and the unjust, God's people have their difficulties and their problems, and their sicknesses, and their troubles, and their heartaches. And there's hardship. And yet we are called to be yoked to Christ, and we seek to break up the fallow ground and the hearts of men and women in this world that are deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. And men and women who have lived in this world and lived in sin and wickedness and have become almost, it seems, immune to the preaching of God's Word. And they don't want to hear what God has to say in His Word. It's not within their reckoning. It's hardship as we seek to break up the fallow ground and bring the gospel message to bring fallen men and women to the Savior. Jesus says, take heed that no man deceive you. And as far as the faith is concerned, we recall, of course, that there is only one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus. And there is only one message whereby men and women are saved. And Jesus said, I am the way and the truth and the life, and no man cometh unto the Father but by me. And there's only one name in which salvation is found, because the Bible says, neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. The Bible says, he that winneth souls is wise. And when we take Christ's yoke upon us, we may expect in this world persecution, opposition, difficulties, hardship. But the wonderful thing about it is this, that when we take Christ's yoke upon us, there we have fellowship with Him, and there is hardship as we go forth, but thank God there is partnership. And then I love the great commissions as they are, the great commission as it is recorded in the Gospels. But I particularly love the end of Mark's Gospel, where the Bible says there in Mark 16 and 19, so after the Lord had spoken unto them, he was received up into heaven and sat on the right hand of God, and they went forth and preached everywhere, the Lord working with them and confirming the word with signs following. Oh, there may be hardship. There may be difficulties. But thank God there is partnership. Jesus says, my yoke is easy and my burden is light. What lifts us up? What gives us strength to keep going? What encourages us? The Bible says, be not weary in well-doing, for in due season ye shall reap if you faint not. The fact is that as we go forth and we sow the good seed, as the prophet said, beside all waters, and we seek to preach the gospel, we seek to live the gospel, we seek to be witnesses for the Lord Jesus Christ. It may be difficult, there may be hard times, but we always have that assurance that they went forth and the Lord was working with them, confirming the word with signs following. The old gospel hymn talks about sharing in the joy of the harvest home. Now, we're not in the harvest season, but we are reminded that just as the oxen would have been used to break up the fallow ground and the seed would have been sown, the Bible reminds us that the husbandman, the man that labors, that he must be first partaker of the fruits, as the apostle said to young Timothy. And we're told there in the book of James to be patient, brethren, unto the coming of the Lord. Behold, the husbandman waiteth for the precious fruit of the earth and hath long patience for it until he receive the early and the latter rain. And as we go forth in partnership, yoked to the Lord Jesus Christ, thank God we share in that wonderful promise that in due season we shall reap if we faint not. And we're reminded that there is power for the church of Christ in the harvest field. For the Lord was working with them, confirming the word with signs following. And like the husbandman, like the laborer, we will be first partakers of the fruits. Jesus says, take my yoke upon you. There's fellowship, there's hardship, there's partnership. Let me just close by saying there's leadership. Because Jesus says, it's my yoke. I want you to take it upon you. And as you do so, you will learn of me. And ye shall find rest unto your souls. There is the Lord of the harvest, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. He is the head, the only head, and the great King of the church. He is the one of whom the apostle says, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of the faith. That's why the psalmist could say, when I'm cast down, Thou, O Lord, art the lifter up of my head. We can take a fresh look today at the leader, at our Savior, the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. When we get discouraged and downhearted, as the hymn writer says, we were singing it earlier, are you ever burdened with a load of care? And does this cross seem heavy? You were called to bear. When we lift our eyes and we look afresh to the Lord Jesus Christ, we look to Him, we learn from Him, and thank God we can lean upon His everlasting arms. For round about and underneath are the everlasting arms of our God. And Christ's yoke is easy, and our burden is light, and we find rest for our souls. May the Lord bless His word to our hearts this morning for His name's sake.